that was about the size of Hiroshima, just to get an example. At that time, the nuclear war plans called for a single 4.5 megaton bomb, followed by 3 1.1 megaton bombs for the attack on this Hiroshima-sized city. So to put this in perspective, they committed 7,500 kilotons to an attack on a city that had been destroyed only 15 years earlier by 12.5 kiloton weapon. So that's where the idea of overkill begins to make sense. Now, part of the rationale for all the extra ordnance was to gain assuredness that the target would be hit by at least several of these nuclear weapons. Another part of the rationale was to assure that each of the individual targets of interest within the city were adequately damaged. Having a high damage level is an extremely important part of nuclear war planning psychology. This leads to these very large numbers. To give you a sense of the actual physical effects, this shows you the fireball from a nuclear explosion of 800 kilotons over this area. Now, down here, I've just shown a white sort of semi-transparent cloud to emphasize that the light and heat coming out of this fireball is tremendously large. It's about 2.5-3 times the light and heat coming out of the equivalent surface of the sun. And, of course, the sun heats the Earth from 90 million miles pretty effectively. And, of course, this thing is very close. So what happens is the light and heat is so intense that stone surfaces literally will shatter from the heating rate. I mean, they'll just thermally disintegrate. And not necessarily burn, but thermally disintegrate. And, you know, metal will melt or evaporate. Roads will melt or evaporate. It'll be extremely intense. And, of course, you wouldn't be able to see through this haze. Now, here is just a depiction of what happens 30 or 40 seconds later. The fireball hasn't begun to rise very, it'll buoyantly rise to a tremendous height. And what happens is the fireball acts like a fast-moving piston. It's just superheated air from the deposition of energy from the exploding nuclear weapon. It acts like a fast-moving piston on the surrounding air, causing a shock wave that reaches the ground and then is reflected from the ground. So you have a reflected and primary shock. You have a pressure wave of enormous intensity and physical length, physical width, and you have very high winds, and you see all this debris being lifted up along with it. And eventually, a very counterintuitive thing happens. Eventually, the fireball will rise buoyantly to an altitude of maybe 5 miles, and you can have 200 or 300 mile an hour winds internal just from the sucking action of this rising fireball. That's one nuclear weapon. What that shows is the objectives of the nuclear force modernization program. The force modernization program is almost solely aimed at making it more feasible for the war fighters to execute their imagined attack plan against New York City. If this has the appearance of being completely insane and disconnected from any plausible reality, I've achieved my goal here today. The fact of the matter is that it is completely impossible to fight and win a nuclear war because the effects of nuclear weapons are so large and so indiscriminate that the only possible outcome of any strategy would be indistinguishable from attacks aimed at killing as many people as possible. Doesn't matter what your strategy is. If you use these things, that's the outcome. Yet, U.S. Nuclear war planning treats this totally fraudulent theory of war as if it is a goal of U.S. forces. So this brings us back to the question of deterrence, and I'll end here. If the only realistic hope of deterring potential adversaries is by threatening them with physical and socially mortal consequences of reprisal, then although this option may be extremely uncomfortable for many of us, it is all that we have. It's just, that's what it boils down to. Striving to be able to do more only creates the appearance that you think you can fight and win a war against a potential adversary. In this case, we're talking about Russia. The net result is the Russians have no choice but to wonder what the United States might do in a crisis. The Russians have a substantial fraction of vulnerable nuclear forces, and they do not have the early warning capability to assure themselves that these forces are not being attacked. This is not a situation that should make anybody in this room comfortable. It increases the chance that a horror beyond existential experience could result from simple human error. The idea that by continuing to raise the level of threat against Russia via the kinds of improvements that are now being implemented in the U.S. nuclear force modernization program might well be counted as possibly the most dangerous insanity in human history. Thanks very much.
Wow. Well, that was one more speech excerpt from the series put together, this symposium, Dr. Helen Caldicott's Frontline Symposium, The Dynamics of Possible Nuclear Extinction. And as you learn in this last speech by Dr. Theodore Postol, threatens more nuclear war. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio.
That's right, you certainly are, and this is fascinating stuff. Terrifying stuff, but fascinating stuff. So we're very fortunate to have this show on. We're very fortunate to have these great speakers and thinkers available to us. And this is made possible by KBOO, the great radio station, the Mighty 90.7, and you out there in listener land are a person who can make this happen. All you need to do is pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. When you pick up that phone, we have some great volunteers sitting around waiting to answer the phone, talk to you, take your information, and keep the wheels of KBOO rolling, because it's a fantastic organization. It's been here for many, many years. It's a vital part of Portland, and I know you as a Portland resident, and there's many people who aren't Portland residents, people who live outside the Portland area who listen to KBOO. But all of you wonderful folks, it's so important you make it happen by picking up the phone and dialing 877-500-5266. There are other options, of course, for you to pledge your support. You can look us up at KBOO.fm on the old internet there, and then also come into the building. We have we're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, just off Burnside, very easy to find at Southeast, and we have a beautiful mural out front, and you can get a tour of the station, cup of coffee, get to meet some of the great folks who work here. But this is a fantastic place, and you don't get these shows anywhere else. These aren't unique perspectives. They're just unheard perspectives. There are many people who feel this way. I know you do out there. I personally have always been afraid of nuclear war. I just don't really think it could be anything but very bad. So when you pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266, you'll be saying nuclear war is a bad thing too. And we have people standing by eager to answer the phone, and you can make it happen. It's up to you. Become an active member of your community and become a vital member. Keep KBOO alive. Dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. I want to thank everybody who's already called in during this pledge drive. Thank you very much. We have some great gifts. We have that amazing thumb drive, is it called? I think I'm not a very technical person, but it's the what's his name with the all the information on it, like Dick Gregory and Chris Hedges, and Chris Hedges shares the same birthday as me. I'm not saying that's relevant or a reason to donate, but it's, you know, of interest to me perhaps and no one else, but or maybe my mum might be interested, but that's another story. Please pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. We're KBOO's a bustling and active place, and I'm sure you're a bustling and active person out there. It's very easy, very quick, and very convenient. You can donate $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever fits your budget, whatever you find most convenient, but make it happen. It's up to you. You are the most important person out there right now. Please pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. We want to thank Larry and Corvallis. We want to thank everybody who's come in or dropped by or donated online or donated by phone. And the way to do it by phone is by dialing 877-500-5266. I hope I'm not saying this too quickly, but I've been enjoying the delicious coffee we have here. I'm not sure I'm allowed to say delicious, but that's another story too. Please pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. And then we have other shows coming up too. We have Conch. Some people call him Southwest Concert. I'm not sure why. It's not his name. But he has a show coming up. We'll be talking about comic books, graphic arts, and all sorts of great stuff. And that show is on, I think, every week. Or it's on quite a lot. And
well,
it's very good.
Not every week.
Okay. It just seems so good that I feel it must be on every week.
It's like super satisfying.
Exactly.
When we super do hear satisfying. It, we hang on to it.
Yep.
But yeah, Words and Pictures coming up relatively soon here on KBOO, your community radio station, where we are still looking for your participation and your membership this morning during our spring membership drive. It's been so really good to hear from many of you this morning. We are buoyed by your participation. We are elated and lifted by your support. But we still want to hear from those of you who have been holding out to the very end. We are just about 2 days before the end of our spring membership drive. It is time now to make your money count, to make your participation known here at the mighty 90.7 KBOO. You can do it by dialing 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm or dropping by 20 Southeast 8th. You can do it monthly. You can do it for $6.25 a month and get the flash drive of audio information. It is a wonderful little compilation of recent lectures and programs and podcasts all aired here on KBOO or airing in this week here on KBOO. Noam Chomsky, Glenn Greenwald, Chris Hedges, Winona LaDuke, Helena Norberg-Hodge, and oh so many others. You can also get a tree planted in your name from Friends of Trees, and you can make it all happen right now by bringing your credit card to the phone and dialing 877-500-5266. Online, you can join us at kboo.fm. If you would like to do it in a one-time contribution, a one-time gift of $60 or $150, $200, that's a wonderful thing. For myself, I know I can give quite a lot more in little bite-sized pieces than I could give at any one time. Maybe you're like me and you want to even out the budget and do $20 a month and say, yes, you want the KBOO hoodie. It's really kind of a fabulous article of clothing. It's got the stylized radio tower, star, KBOO community radio, grinding gears. It's a beautiful thing there. And you can get that for your $20 a month contribution. 877-500-5266. Be warm and stylish all at the same time. Ready for layering
and
up in
edgy.
The great Northwest. Edgy,
edgy.
Stylish,
edgy.
Warm,
yep.
Layered, complex. 877-500-5266, the way to call. Or if you actually, you could see a picture of the fabulous hoodie online at kboo.fm and join us that way. However you choose to do it, we ask you do it now. 877-500-5266.
Coming up, more on the conference from Bill Hartung on the inordinate power and pathological dynamics of the U.S. military-industrial complex.
The term military-industrial complex itself, as you know, came from President Eisenhower's farewell address. And so the first question is, why did he choose to make his last words to the nation about this issue? And I think ultimately, you know, the part of the speech that people are most familiar with has to do with unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex. But I think perhaps more important is the ending of the speech, where he talks about it as a threat to democracy. And he said, "We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals so that security and liberty may prosper together." I'm not sure how big a machine we need to mesh with, but nonetheless, the spirit of it was that life and death decisions were being made in an undemocratic way. And I think that's really what drove the speech. Now, nuclear weapons were not only present at the creation of the military-industrial complex, but they were an integral part of how it came to be and how it came to be sustained. Of course, the Manhattan Project, which was one of the most, one of the largest industrial undertakings in human history, created the base for a lot of what we see now as the nuclear warhead complex. So, in any case, not only do we have the Manhattan Project setting the sort of infrastructure of the nuclear arms race, but Eisenhower tangled with the nuclear lobby continuously, and that was really what led him to get the concept of the military-industrial complex. The Air Force and the industry wanted to build a new bomber, a new nuclear bomber, the B-70. Eisenhower didn't think it was necessary, but he had to fight tooth and nail against it, even to the point where his own generals were giving testimony against him. You know, the theory is supposed to be there's a commander-in-chief, they make a decision, and the military folks walk in line. But in this case, they were talking out of school and challenging their own president to build a bomber that we did not need. So that was his first indication that this complex was getting out of hand. But more importantly, and perhaps more unfortunately, he was blindsided by the missile gap controversy late in his term. There was faulty intelligence circulated by industry, by folks in the Air Force and elsewhere, that we were far behind the Soviet Union in the production of ballistic missiles. And the Sputnik launch was used as kind of the scare tactic to build that infrastructure and that argument. There was even a column written by Joseph Alsop, who was a Cold War journalist, claiming that in a few years' time, the Soviet Union would have 1,000 ICBMs to about 100 by the United States. Now, it's not clear he had any source for this, but it was widely broadcast, including John F. Kennedy using those statistics in a speech on the floor of the Senate. And in fact, the Democratic senators like Stuart Symington and Kennedy and LBJ were attacking Eisenhower from the right on the issue of a nuclear buildup. And he eventually was pushed in that direction, although not nearly as far as the military-industrial complex would have liked him to be. And of course, the end of the story was Kennedy comes into power. We find out there is no missile gap except for the one in which the United States is far ahead of the Soviet Union. That whole manipulation of intelligence and the push by industry and ideologues and the opposing party to go to war has been replicated many times since, perhaps most clearly in the run-up to the Bush administration's invasion of Iraq in 2003. So we've got the role of the military-industrial complex in that early phase, and nuclear weapons as the key part of it. Then I'm going to fast forward to the end of the Cold War, because here seemed to be an opportunity to dismantle that complex. There was no Soviet adversary. Colin Powell gave an interview in which he said, "I'm running out of enemies," which you would think would be a good thing, but for the military-industrial complex was a threat. And so they evolved a doctrine where they took regional threats as defined by the complex, like Iraq, like North Korea, and used them as the building blocks to keep a large military. And of course, within this, we had the genesis of the Iraq War Party, the Project for the New American Century, which was a network that included people like Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, all the main architects of the Iraq War. And the executive director of that organization was Bruce Jackson, who was a vice president for the Lockheed Martin Corporation. So a disinterested party, you might say. And so the PNAC and the ideologues around them, once 9/11 came, decided that atmosphere of fear that followed that was their moment to move on their agenda, which they did. And so we're living with the consequences of that. The tens and hundreds of thousands of people who were casualties in the Iraq War, the trillions of dollars of our resources that were spent on that in a country that now everybody's telling us we're broke. If we had that money, even the hardest of deficit hawks couldn't point to a deficit because we wouldn't have one. So that was sort of an example of the military-industrial complex overcoming a threat, the threat of peace.
You are listening to Bill Hartung of the Center for International Policy, who spoke at Dr. Helen Caldicott's symposium on the dynamics of possible nuclear extinction. And we'll get back for a final segment on that after we hear from Pledge Central. It's membership drive time, and Ani and Will are standing by. Hello, folks.
Hello, Rock. Yes, it is time to hear from you. We, you know, at KABU, we talk about the hard issues. We were talking about nuclear extinction and the possibilities of, you know, climate change and all other manner of ways that we are destroying our planet. And it is dire information. It is important information because it's happening. And really, to hide our heads in the sand, to pretend that the world is fine and we can keep on going on in the ways that we have been accustomed forevermore, well, that's lunacy. It's fairy tale. And what we want is, in fact, access to good information. And KABU, your community radio station, your independent community media resource, is an important part of that. It's an important part of giving you information that you can use, information from the grassroots, information unfettered and uninfluenced by corporate interests and by the nuclear power industry. We are here because people just like you are passionate about these issues and work very hard, volunteer very hard to make sure that your access to these ideas and this information continues. And your financial support is a huge and important part of that. It takes $88 an hour to broadcast at this radio station. Right now, we're asking you to step up and maybe fund an hour of broadcast. Can you do that? If you can, please pick up your phone right now, 877-500-5266. You can join us for $88 and say, yes, you want to sponsor 1 hour of broadcast, and know that others are stepping forward to do the same thing, and we cover each and every hour of the year. It's collective action, and it's really, really effective. It's how we've been on the air since 1968, and we will continue to be on the air with your support. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
That's right. What Anya said is so true. We are not underwritten by, you know, Bechtel or Halliburton. We don't have sponsorship from hedge funds or any corporations like that. Alcoa isn't sending us a check. It's up to you as an individual, as a responsible individual of your community, to grab the phone, dial 877-500-5266. It's incredibly important. You can make it happen. Carpe diem. It's time to seize the day, seize your wallet, and seize the phone. Well, maybe run out of hands at that point. But you can make this happen by dialing 877-500-5266. Plus, you can donate online. It's very easy at kboo.fm. And then there's also the one I recommend, which is coming in, meeting some people who work here, some of the volunteers, have a cup of coffee, get a tour of the station, and drop off your donation that way. You might want to just drop off a one-time $20 donation, or maybe you'd like to be a sustaining member for $5 a month, $10 a month. We have all sorts of great gifts, including the wicked cool hoodie for just $20 a month. You can say that you support KABU when you get the KABU mug or the hoodie or one of the awesome t-shirts. I have a couple of those. I'm often sporting a KABU t-shirt showing my support. And you can too. But the first thing you need to do, and I really want to express how important this is, dial 877-500-5266. We have beautiful volunteers standing by.
It is such an important thing to do. It makes a big difference to your entire community. Right now, talking about the possibility of nuclear extinction, looking at all of those really dire issues that are around us that we don't hear about all that often, but it's so important, and we know we must focus our attention on it so that we can, in fact, make actions to change it, right? We can create positive new structures to really kind of end the destruction practices of the old. Mimi Herman was a guest earlier on Flashpoints, a local activist who started the Radcast features that actually count how radioactive places are, that actually count. And it's so important, again, that we share this information, because it's not information brought to you by mainstream press. It is information that is pretty much reserved for independent media. And right now, here in this area, KABU is your resource. Please do pick up your phone, 877-500-5266. We are looking for $60. $60 will push us over the top. Can you do that? $5 a month will get us there. $7.50 a month will take us past it. And I know that we always like to, you know, exceed our expectations.
That's right.
877-500-5266. I want to thank David from Ridgefield, Washington, who loves jazz in the afternoon. We thank you so much, David. Wendy in Southwest Portland, who was contributing online this morning for Voices from the Edge. That is a fantastic thing. Thank you so much. Pamela from White Salmon, Washington. Stephanie from Northeast Portland, also noting Voices from the Edge is her inspiration for calling. And Terry in Northeast Portland, for news you are not supposed to know, she says she looks forward to Teresa's show every week, and she appreciates all the hard work that everyone does to make it happen. We thank you, Terry, for thanking us with your contribution of support this morning. If you would like to contribute online, just like David, Wendy, Pamela, Stephanie, and Terry have done, you can do it by clicking over to kboo.fm. If the phone is in your pocket, then I'd say just put it to good use right now and call us, 877-500-5266.
That's right. You can't possibly put it to better use.
That's it. So you can come in 20 Southeast 8th if you're out and about. It's a lovely spring morning here in Portland. And you know what I mean by that? It's a variable. It's a variable day. Maybe it's going to get nice. Maybe it's a little cloudy. Maybe it's going to... We don't know. It's spring. That's why you want to layer up maybe with a hoodie. And you can, again, get a KBOO hoodie for your $20 contribution, $20 a month contribution. It adds up to $240 over the course of a year, but it's easy to do in little bite-sized pieces. Again, looking for that last $60 for Flashpoints this morning, the extended broadcast, looking at all these very critical nuclear issues. Please do support this information, support your access to these ideas, this information that you can then put into good use in your own analysis, and you know what you need to do from there. Only you do. Go ahead and give us a call right now. Only you know how much you need to support us. You can go ahead, check your pocketbook. If you've got $5 now, take a leap of faith, contribute that to KBOO, and start your monthly automatic deductions from checking. And go ahead and become a sustaining member of KBOO today. That'll add up to $60 in the course of the year, and you can be that hero that reaches the goal for Flashpoints. 877-500-5266.
And I would just like to talk a little bit about their tools of influence that they use. And, you know, currently to sustain their position. And of course, first on any list is campaign contributions. And the arms industry gave about $50 million to candidates for Congress and the presidency in the last three election cycles. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, but it's only about 1/4 of what Wall Street gives. It's a tiny fraction of the $1 billion the Koch brothers are hoping to spend on the next election. And the reason for that is that campaign spending is just one tiny element of all the levers of influence that the industry has. So it doesn't lean on campaign spending as much as some other industries would do. But when they do give money, they target it very carefully. So for example, Buck McKeon, who until recently was the head of the House Armed Services Committee, who I call the one-man military-industrial complex, got $750,000 over a three-cycle period from the arms industry. All its biggest contributors were Lockheed Martin and Boeing and Northrop Grumman. They were developing stealth technology in his district, as well as the largest drone producer in the world, General Atomics. So keeping Buck happy went a long way towards promoting their agenda. And when he announced he was going to retire, Mac Thornberry from Texas, who's going to take over, has taken over at head of armed services, immediately got a flood of additional donations from these same companies. So they know who to give the money to. And then in addition to that, we have lobbying expenditures, which are an unbelievable flood of money. The industry spent $680 million over that three-cycle period I talked about. And perhaps more important, they average anywhere from 800 to 1,000 lobbyists. So that means almost two lobbyists for every member of Congress. And in fact, some staffers I've talked to whose bosses aren't even that directly involved in defense say that they can spend 20% or more of their time just talking to or fending off lobbyists from the weapons industry. Then you've got the revolving door, which is when people of influence in government go to work for industry, and then they influence their former colleagues on behalf of industry. Or people from industry go into government and make decisions that help their old employers. William Proxmire, who is probably one of the most notable gadflies in the history of the US Senate, talked about the revolving door in 1969, So it's been around for quite a while. And his definition, I think, is hard to really beat. He said in a speech in 1969, the easy movement of high-ranking military officers into jobs with major defense contractors and the reverse movements of top executives and major defense contractors into high Pentagon jobs is solid evidence of the military-industrial complex in action. It is a real threat to the public interest because it increases the chances of abuse. How hard a bargain will officers involved in procurement planning or specifications drive when they are 1 or 2 years of retirement away from working in the industry, along with 2,000 of their fellow officers who've already gone there? And we've had many examples of this, procurement officers giving a cushy deal to companies that they know they're going to go to work for. The only example where anybody actually paid a price was a tanker program that John McCain got his teeth into, and an executive from Boeing and the contractor, the executive in the Pentagon who helped them out, actually did jail time. Now, it was probably at Club Fed, but it was still jail time. And it was an indication of something that happens all the time being punished in some small way.
You have been listening to Bill Hartung of the Center for International Policy, who spoke at Dr. Helen Caldicott's symposium on the dynamics of possible nuclear extinction. And that wraps up our extended edition of Flashpoints here on KBOO. Stick around. Up next, it's Words and Pictures.
KBOO would like to say thank you to our community partners that are feeding our volunteers today. Breakfast is from Gravy at 3957 North Mississippi Avenue, open at 7:30 a.m. every day and serving breakfast till 3 p.m. Lunch is served on weekdays after 11 a.m. Lunch is from Riyadh's Lebanese Restaurant at 1318 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. Experience a variety of Middle Eastern dishes like shawarma, kebabs, hummus, and more. Dinner is from Bridges Cafe and Catering at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, committed to using local and organic ingredients. Breakfast served every day, all day, and lunch on weekends.
Words and Pictures, a special membership drive edition.